The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Looking ahead to the action at Wolverhampton on Thursday. Myself, Sam Norris, joined in the studio by Andrew Mount to preview a couple of races on the card at Wolverhampton. We've also got evening racing at Chelmsford on Thursday. Hopefully Warwick's meeting gets the go-ahead. We're recording this before their 2pm inspection on Wednesday. So hopefully there'll be three meetings to bring you as opposed to two live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm on Thursday, where you can join the chaps in the studio for all of the action. But first things first, it's a very good afternoon to Andrew Mount. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Sam. I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
I think Warwick might be a big price to go ahead tomorrow.
Yeah, I was more in hope rather than expectation there. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. Not to dwell on the weather too much, because I'm sure it's been mentioned on every podcast for the last month or so, but it is... He's rather playing havoc with the fixtures.
Yeah, it's a bit damp out there still. Mm. And there is a dry spell forecast prior to Aintree. So let's hope the conditions aren't too testing for the Grand National the week on Saturday.
Yes, because the unseasonal weather that we're having, of course, begin to play havoc with sort of trends and sort of horses that you profile for this time of year, because you always make a bit of an assumption on what the ground's going to be like, particularly before Cheltenham. You sort of do all your Cheltenham work on the assumption it'll be good to soft.
That's
then,
right.
Then it wasn't.
I mean, even when I was doing the first Cheltenham Festival preview night I did on the 27th of February, I was talking about, you know, this one will improve for
spring ground. Yes, exactly.
What's that then? So there's it. I feel sorry for these trainers with a lot of top-of-the-ground horses. They're going to struggle for a while yet.
Yeah, definitely so. And, of course, we're beginning to see some of the, particularly National Hunt horses, some of the summer jumpers coming out. And, of course, we've got flat horses as well who want the ground a little bit quicker. Is it playing havoc with any of your systems at this time of the year?
No, they still seem to be holding up okay. I mean, a lot of them are to do with the all-weather as well. I mean, one of them I'm particularly keen on at the moment is backing three-year-olds in all-weather handicaps.
Right.
Who've not raced yet as three-year-olds, so they've been off the track since before the new year. And the theory being that they haven't raced since they're two, they've strengthened up over the winter, and they haven't gone up the handicap, whereas the horses have been taking each other on week on, week out throughout the winter. Have done so, and these unraced ones might improve past them. That was a system that sort of James Millman alerted me to, and there's been quite a few winners like that recently. There should be plenty more as well in the next few days.
Right, good stuff. Away from the all weather stuff, looking forward to Aintree. Is it a meeting that you bet particularly much at?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I went through a spell probably preferring it to Cheltenham,
particularly
the Thursday and the Friday, which I usually attend. Although I am in the studio on the Thursday, so I'll have to miss that this year. But you know, you're starting the meeting with four Grade One races.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic meeting, and you get the chance to see what the Cheltenham form is worth, and those horses have been kept fresh for this meeting rather than missing Cheltenham. Are they going to do better? So there's lots of interest there.
Yeah, on that theme, actually, it was a real shame that Waiting Patiently is going to miss the festival as well, because he was obviously a horse that they'd kept fresh for this, and it just shows, once again, just how fragile they can be sometimes.
Yeah, that's really gutting. Let's hope we see him back fit and well next season.
Yeah, plenty of good international racing over the last few days as well. Do you follow the racing at Maidan very much?
I haven't this season, and it seems from what little I've seen of it that you've on the dirt course, you have to be on that inside rail, yes. Otherwise you're scuppered. So I'm not too distressed that I've missed that. There's plenty of all-weather action in this country to get stuck into.
Because it's been a bit of an angle for people over the years, of course, sort of backing horses who've been running in Maidan, and the fitness edge that they perhaps have over some of the runners who are making their seasonal reappearance in this country and haven't been out to the UAE. But I suppose the case is more and more every year, Andrew, that they're getting them so fit at home nowadays. Has that advantage of running in Meydan and having race fitness on side gone away a little bit?
Possibly, but it'll be interesting to see how they look in the paddock.
Right.
Because Ken said in the last few days a lot of horses still got their winter coats, you know, haven't got their sort of spring-summer coat yet. So when these Meydan horses start coming out and you know, taking on the ones who've remained in Britain over the winter, it'll be interesting to see how they look in comparison.
Yeah, definitely. So let's move our attention on to the action on Thursday then and take a look at two contests from Wolverhampton. We begin with the 3:15. I got a 6 furlong handicap to kickstart with here. And only 7 runners lining up for this one. It's an interesting little heat, Andrew. How do you play it?
Yeah, this is a cracker. I really like Delegate This Lord for Michael Atwater. This one used to be with Bill Turner, and he didn't win for his old yard. But last season, in the middle of June, he changed yards and then turned up for his new connections at Newbury, winning first time out in a field of 15 on good to firm ground. He followed that up with a good ground Bath win, and again back to Bath next time out on good to soft ground, won again. And he was bidding for a 4-timer when he went to Ascot on the 7th of October on good to soft ground, but there was a very strong draw bias that day, and if you didn't race towards that far rail, you were basically scuppered. Now, the winner of that race was Erasmus Maximus. The Racing Post described him as raced towards far side, made all. The runner-up, Track Leaders Far Side. The third, Lincoln, dwelt, raced towards far side. And the fourth, Equim, Track Leaders Far Side. Now, Delegate This Lord raced down the centre. And although he was only 8th overall, he actually did best of those who were raced away from that favoured far side rail. So I think that's certainly worth upgrading. He was out of the weights that day as well, and also his jockey put up overweight. So there was plenty against him. Did really well to finish as close as he did, going down by 5 lengths. And looking at his breeding, he's by Delegator. The switch to, the return to the all-weather, he has won here previously, shouldn't inconvenience him. And so when he was with Bill Turner, he raced mostly over 7 furlongs to 9.5 furlongs. But he really came into his own as a sprinter for his new connections last year. And I think he can continue his progression. Being with a yard that's, you know, sort of not particularly high profile, I think he's often going to be overpriced as well. So Delegate This Lord to make a winning return to action in that good sprint at Wolverhampton.
Delegate This Lord then to regain the winning thread in the 3:15 race at Wolverhampton is the first of Andrew's two to follow. We go to the final race on the card at Dunstall Park for the next one. This is the 5:20 racing over just over 7 furlongs for a handicap here. Class 6 event for the 3-year-olds. And we touched a little bit earlier on in the podcast, Andrew, a system that you've been enjoyably following of late. There'd be one or two qualifiers in here.
Yeah, there's plenty. I mean, the one I'm going for isn't actually a qualifier on that system.
Right, okay.
Because, one or two of those are sort of perhaps going to need the run or off from yard or badly drawn. I mean, Wolverhampton this year, it's been very tricky to overcome a wide draw of stall 9 or higher, just 10 winners from 215 runners. Nice. And you'd lose £107 to a £1 level stake if you back them blind. It tends to be sort of anything from stalls 2 to 8 that are favoured, particularly if they're prominent, because it does seem hard to come from off the pace at Wolverhampton at the moment. Now, another angle with Wolverhampton is the sire Fox Wedge. It's got a particularly good record here. Overall on the Topeka, 9 winners from 42, 21% strike rate, and a small profit if you bet them blind at SP. Now, Foxy Lady has run on Topeka previously, but always at Newcastle on the straight course. I'm just not particularly convinced that she wants to go on a straight track, doesn't always get home, can race keenly on occasions, and has hung left. So I think going left-handed on Topeka is going to suit her. She's trained by Kevin Ryan, who's in really good form, 4 winners from 18 runners in the past fortnight, and plenty of seconds and thirds in there as well. So having run, you know, respectably enough last time out, the first time cheap pieces when third at Newcastle, that will have given her a race to get used to wearing the headgear. She's got it on again here, And from a nice draw in stall five with Nicola Curry on board. That's an interesting booking for Kevin Ryan. I think Foxy Lady switching to Wolverhampton for the first time could be the value in this race.
Yeah, Foxy Lady, the choice in the 5.20. Interesting that you mentioned the jockey booking there. We've said time and time again over the course of the winter, Nicola Curry's done really well and now beginning to reap the rewards from the slightly bigger yards and the more high-profile operations.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, she's had five rides previously for Kevin Ryan, two winners and a place.
Right, so, okay.
Obviously, it's a very small sample size, but, you know, 40% strike rates is certainly encouraging. So I've been really impressed with her at Chelmsford this winter, particularly from the front. And, you know, I hope she can continue to get some decent rides on turf this summer.
Yeah, definitely. So it'll be interesting to follow her progress throughout the course of the season, that is for sure. A quick recap then, Andrew, if you would, please, of your two to follow at Wolverhampton's meeting on Thursday.
Yeah, the 3:15 I've gone with Delegate This Lord, ran really well from a tricky draw at Ascot last time. And the 5:20 I'm with Foxy Lady, whose sire Foxwedge has got a fantastic record at Wolverhampton.
Good stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Andrew Mount on the racing on Thursday. Make sure you join us on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. In all likelihood, Warwick's race meeting will not be going ahead, so it'll likely be Wolverhampton and Chelmsford. You can join James Millman, who's in the studio with Gareth Topham and Craig Forsyth, for all of the action. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supplying us with a couple to follow there, Andrew, and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.